This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I have to apologize to you.
For what?
For my reaction last episode. I want you to know, I'm sorry, and I understand what the conceit of this show is. I get it. And I'm just waiting for your apology.
Oh. No.
What? I'm not going to order you to apologize to
me. Oh, okay.
But I really want you to apologize.
You're just going
to
make me feel real bad.
Yes, exactly.
So that I will have to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like Worf in this episode, I'm going to say no. And just refuse to deal with the consequences of that.
Oh, boy. And there's going to be none.
Yep.
It's
never going to come up again. We're never going to talk about this ever again.
Oh, I'm going to hold on to it.
Oh,
I just won't bring it up.
It'll come back in a later episode.
Yes, exactly.
All right. I believe you.
Well, we're talking about The Enemy.
Yeah. The Enemy, where they meet the Romulans again.
Yeah, finally. It's been a minute since we've seen them.
Yeah, I still don't know a ton about the Romulans, mm-hmm. but I know that there's a war. And that
yes.
certainly does play into this episode a lot.
Probably the best part of this episode is when they're discussing the war itself.
Yeah.
Or the potential for war.
Right. What the stakes are.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
Well, I do have a fun fact.
Oh, great. Let's hear it.
So, you know how Geordi LaForge is down on the planet for the entire episode?
I do know how that happens.
It was originally supposed to be Deanna Troi.
Oh.
In the first draft of the script.
Man, that would have been a pretty interesting dynamic between
her. It would have been a much different episode.
Yeah, she would have had lines, for one. She has two.
I counted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she would have been able to get into the other guy's head and probably convince him through persuasion. Yeah, that would have been cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we saw, though.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We saw something completely different.
Right. Well, I had a hard time finding a headline. It looked like not a lot of stuff was happening the day this came out, which was November 6th, 1989. But I did find an editorial from the New York Times called Crack Brained.
Ooh.
And it's about the legalization of crack.
What?
And, well, yeah, because apparently in the late 80s, there were a bunch of is a mixture between liberal ACLU people and right wing economists were saying that maybe we should deal with the crack epidemic by legalizing it. And some of them were saying just legalize it, but some of them were saying no, treat it like we do with methadone clinics and
right.
legalize it and also make treatment fully funded. I forgot how big of a story that was, the crack epidemic in the
right.
late 80s, early 90s, you know,
because crack was relatively new in that time. Correct.
I mean it got really big in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. It led to all the gang warfare.
Yeah, it mentions Baltimore a lot, and mm-hmm. it did a lot of damage to Baltimore, I think. And that's around the time when New Jack City came out,
think. Yeah, I remember
that. So it was a big part of the culture.
Everything I know about crack is from New Jack
City.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no firsthand knowledge of crack. So take this with a grain of salt, then.
You hear that, coppers?
Yeah.
Patrick knows nothing about
I know
crack.
Nothing about it.
He's never seen it or smoked it.
I don't know
it.
What it is. But no, there's an interesting part of this is talking about how the high creates a dopamine rush, then your brain just kind of crashes and can't produce enough dopamine unless you get another dose of crack.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, wow, that sounds awful.
So once you go crack, you can never go
right,
back.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is highly addictive, Pat. Many people died.
Oh, okay. Sorry for my joke.
No, I'm just messing with you. But no, it was just like an editorial where they list all the reasons why they would want to do it, and then they're like, well, but they shouldn't do that. This is still 1989. This is not an idea we're going to talk about. Also, weed shouldn't be legal.
Yeah, I know. I was like, if weed's not legal.
I'm some guy in New York in 1989. Keep that in mind.
That's your New York guy?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how they sound, but...
I'm from New York.
I'm walking over here. No, it's a New York Times guy. It's not like a construction worker. It's a different dynamic.
Right. Oh, boy.
But anyway, that was in the news.
Oh, cool.
All right. I guess I should probably talk about the episode, I think.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, so this is another Geordi-heavy episode.
Yeah, two in a row.
Yeah, and he was super weird in the last one. I think we did cover that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a badass.
He was.
He was a badass in this one, which is good to see, because LeVar Burton rules.
Yeah, he does.
And it's good to see that side of Geordi. So I didn't like... I like that part of it. If I talk a little shit about this episode later on in the in the podcast, I apologize. I don't think it's terrible. I just... this is one thing that I liked, was Geordi was cool.
Geordi was cool. He was also extremely stupid.
Yes. Oh, man, but it kind of makes sense if you think about how the Federation deals with conflict.
Yeah, well, they're really bad at
it. They're terrible at it.
Even Picard drops the ball.
Well,
in this episode.
Yeah, I totally get why he doesn't want to start a war, though. They're definitely going to lose.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that
okay.
later.
Well, we should probably just explain what's going on here. Mm-hmm. It starts off where the all-away team of Riker, Worf, and Geordi, they're on some planet. It's got a lot of storms going on. it looks like Seattle or something, but it's some
Seattle.
It's just extremely rainy and no one can see anything. And they got these little flashlights.
Yeah.
And I think it's like just in Federation territory near the neutral zone, right?
Exactly.
This is what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're looking for something.
Yeah, they got a distress call.
Oh, that's right.
They're about to reach like this vessel and it crash lands on the planet. And they're kind of looking for the remains. What I don't understand about this, I'm just going to say this from up top so it's addressed. They have no suits. They have no, like, warm clothes. They don't even have raincoats out there.
They don't need it. The uniforms are so well constructed.
Clearly they are not.
Well, it's not like Geordi was freezing to death.
It kind of looked like he was.
I don't know. Well, you know.
So we just have to assume this is some special type of fabric.
Yeah,
where,
future fabric.
And that explains their terrible budget.
Yeah, it's like the comms badge. Okay. Why everyone speaks English.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I buy that. It's just I kind of cringe every time I see this stuff, and they don't have, like, a winter dress or anything like that.
Not even gloves. And they're touching things with their hands.
I know. They're just touching space junk with their bare hands this whole time. And all they have is these little bitty flashlights. It doesn't make any sense. They're looking around on the planet's surface. They found that their comm badges aren't working very well. The atmosphere hurts them. There's like some kind of radiation going on. And
well, that's the same reason their comms badge don't work.
It's like an electromagnetic field, I think is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
But it has physical effects on your body, too. So they can't stay there very long.
Yeah. I think at one point, Geordi calls it electronic soup.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he would probably be able to see it, right?
I think when we're looking through his visor...
Okay, that's what it looks like. That's not
That's what
normal.
We're seeing.
Okay,
yeah.
It's hard for me to tell because I don't know what he normally sees.
Yeah,
but
that is always hard to understand. But yeah. I think that's why we keep seeing vision through his visor, is just to show how screwed up it is.
Okay, so they're looking for this vessel that crashed. It's on a planet with an electromagnetic field that hurts them and messes up their communication. And it's really stormy and rainy. And they find these... pieces of metal, basically. It's pieces of a ship.
Yeah. It's been obliterated.
Oh, it's totally destroyed. And I think what they say is it not only looks like it crashed, but it looks like it was destroyed after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Romulan markings on it.
Oh, boy.
And keep in mind, Federation and the Romulans are not at war. They don't have a treaty, but it's just a ceasefire. It's just an agreement that they're not going to kill each other. But it's still very tense. And yes. This is in Federation space, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's stay on your side of the border. We'll stay on ours, and we won't mess with each other.
Yeah. So they kind of split up to search the wreckage, and Worf finds a Romulan dude. Mm-hmm. And at first it looks like he's dead, and then the guy wakes up and like tries to choke Worf, and Worf just like open palm slams him in the face, knocks his ass out.
Yep.
So that's kind of interesting. You know?
It was fun.
Yeah, you know, they find a live Romulan dude. It's like a crash spy plane situation here, basically. While this is happening, Geordi falls into a pit.
He slips into a hole.
Right. And Remember, their comm badges basically don't work. And I guess he's kind of in that situation where Riker, you know, was alone on the planet in the second episode. And he's like, Geordi, Worf, anybody? Yeah. Now Geordi's in that situation in the middle of some hole. And he can't get out. The other thing that the storm does, by the way, is they only have a specific window of time that they get to beam up back to the Enterprise. And it's closing. So they just got to take this Romulan dude and beam up.
So I think this is my biggest beef of the episode. You know, the Marines for a long time, they wouldn't even leave a body behind,
right.
Much less another person on their team.
Right.
Wouldn't a good leader and away team stick together, knowing that within these time periods, like you can teleport, then there'll be a time period where we can't, then there'll be a time period where it comes back and we can teleport again. Why leave Geordi behind? He has a high risk of dying. Worf and Riker and Geordi together could have all protected one another for an hour or two until they could teleport away again. So what a coward policy to teleport off the planet when you still have one of your members from the away team lost somewhere.
Well, you know, Pat, as you've told me several times on this show, human beings in the time of the Federation have evolved beyond such petty ideas of cowardice or bravery or doing anything that makes any goddamn sense in any kind of tactical context.
I'm just saying.
They have evolved to a higher plane where they follow the plot wherever it is easier for the writers to write around. And in this particular case, it is, we have a window of time to get through this eye of the storm, and we're going to take it. And Geordi,
leave Geordi behind.
Geordi, I'm sorry, buddy.
What a horrible call on Riker's part.
I know. No, this is, it doesn't make any sense.
Geordi's blind. It's he also can break his visor.
It's not what Riker or Worf would do.
No, it's jarring.
Yeah.
When they teleport away, it's like, you're missing somebody. And you know you're missing somebody.
But they had to do it because they wanted to do this, like, enemy mine situation on the surface of the planet with Geordi and the Romulan dude. And this is the only way that they thought that they could write it? I don't know. There's got to be a better way because it does not fit with Riker or Worf's character. Definitely not.
Definitely not.
But
it's frustrating.
Yeah, and because they don't know if he's alive or dead.
No, they just ditch him.
From their perspective, like, we, the audience, know that he is.
Yeah.
But the way that they're writing it is like, well, we can always come back for him. Well, no, you can't. You don't know that.
And the window is closing.
Well, they know they get another window.
Right, I know. So that's what I'm saying. So they make the judgment call.
Right.
It's better to leave this guy alone on the planet.
They should just stay there.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe his foot's trapped under a rock and there's a bear coming
after
him.
Maybe he's bleeding out.
You don't know.
I know. He's stuck in that soup.
He fell down a hole.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
That part of the episode kind of took me out of it.
And it's early.
Yep.
So the rest of the episode, the way
you're
Riker's
thinking about
behaving,
that.
I'm just like, Riker, you deserve to feel guilty.
Right.
You ditched him.
And it's not something that he would do.
No.
It doesn't make sense. But they beam back up with the Romulan. And
they'd rather save a Romulan than Geordi, Patrick.
I know Worf wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
Worf
right?
Wouldn't sign on to this shit. But they take the Romulan to sickbay. He's very injured. I guess he's been in this electromagnetic storm for a long time, and it's kind of messed up his head and his body. And we kind of figure out later what's wrong with him. But they've got to figure out how to get Geordi, basically. And Picard and Riker are talking about the situation, and so the planet is called Galnordan Core, by the way. And Picard is saying, well, they're probably doing some spy stuff down there. Maybe they've got like a listening post or something. It's in Federation space. We got to do something about this. And we got to interrogate it. And also, of course, get Geordi. I mean, we got to do that.
By the way.
Right.
We're still missing a guy.
Yeah, one subplot at a time, though. So, Dr. Crusher is saying he has something called a ribosome infusion. I don't really know what that means, but it is basically giving him the what sounds like the symptoms of Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
She's saying it's like destroying the synapses in his brain itself.
Yeah. So he's losing memories.
Yeah. You know, Riker is like trying to interrogate him on the sick bed, and he's just like, "What do you know? By the way, we're taking care of you.
Yeah,
I'm super mean, but also I'm a nice guy because I'm in Federation.
I'm a good cop and a bad cop,
yeah,
all at once,
all at the same time. We have evolved beyond basic things like brutality.
Yet I'm gonna smash
you. Yeah, tell me what you know, though." And he doesn't tell him anything. And also, like, I don't know if he would be able to. He just tells him that, like, he was alone.
Well, yeah, he says, "I'm going to tell you nothing."
Right.
"I'm alone.
I was alone, but I'm not going to tell you anything else."
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he'd be able to tell anything worthwhile because, like, you know, his brain's falling apart.
Yeah, it's scrambled eggs in there.
Yeah, he was in the soup for too long.
Yep.
So.
Or, as Riker would put it, it's an omelet in there.
Oh, is that what he said?
Callback. Remember
what
he said?
Oh, that's right. He makes these really terrible omelets. Yeah. He just cracks some eggs and puts them in a bowl.
Yeah.
And then on a hot plate. How could I forget? Anyway, what they're doing for this Romulan is Dr. Crusher is running ribosome tests on everyone on the ship to see if he's got a match. One of the things she did bring up was, she thought that she could operate on him because she's operated on Vulcans before, but she says that the differences are too subtle and too many. I was going to ask you, all right, Romulans are not Vulcans, but they're kind of similar in a way?
Yeah, so think of them as cousins.
Yeah, I'm sure I've asked this before, but you know, I've probably forgot.
So they're basically neighboring planets who came from one species thousands and thousands of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they've evolved down basically two different pathways. So they're equally smart and cunning. But Vulcans, they've been able to turn off their emotion, right? They're purely logic-driven. Whereas Romulans chose not to do that.
With the Vulcans, is that a cultural choice or is that part of their biology too?
It's a little of both now because it's been so long.
Oh,
but
okay.
They are strongly encouraged to suppress all emotion, even if they're feeling it.
It's like humans and Cro-Magnons, basically, is what we're looking at here.
Yes.
Can they intermarry?
That's a great question.
Have we ever seen that on the show?
I bet we have.
Okay.
There's a lot of crossover between Vulcans and Romulans, especially later in the series.
Hmm.
Not necessarily crossover, but them interacting with one another.
Okay.
They would have to, just because they're neighbors. Or were neighbors.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Back on the planet, Geordi is doing this really cool thing where I guess he fell in like a silver mine or something. I don't know if this planet's inhabited. But
yeah, but there's some sort of iron ore there.
Right. Just as luck would have it.
And he can see it because of his visor.
Right. He finds some metal ore. He takes little flakes of it and stuff, and he makes a little groove in the mud, and he uses his phaser to melt the metal into one contiguous piece.
Yeah.
And I guess he's made like a mold. It's in the shape of a pick.
Yeah.
And he gets these two.
Badass.
Yeah. It is so badass, this part.
Yeah.
He makes these two like little metal picks and just climbs his way up the hole. That was cool.
That was super cool.
Yeah.
But then cut to the next time we see him. And he is...
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that.
Okay. All right.
Man.
Because now he's scaling a different wall with no picks.
Yeah.
You remember that scene?
Right.
Yeah.
He just drops them.
But we never see him drop them.
I know.
So he makes these badass picks.
Well, he also drops his phaser at some point, and we never see him drop that either.
Okay.
I don't know.
This stuff on the planet gets super confusing.
Yeah, but this part is cool, so I'm just going to enjoy that part.
Sorry.
Yeah. But up on the ship, they're trying to figure out a way to get in touch with Geordi to make sure he's still there. I mean, because keep in mind, they don't know if he's alive or not.
They might have left him bleeding out.
Yes.
As a space bear was chewing on his arm. They have no idea.
But just as the storm destroyed people's comm badges and made them inoperable, they can't get any kind of communication or sensor down to the planet while the storm is going on. Wesley comes up with this idea that if they make some kind of neutrino probe, if this thing that will send a little pulse of neutrino particles, that can get through the storm, they can read that, and then when Geordi finds it, he can alter the device, and when they see the pulse changing, they know that he's found it.
Yes.
And he can see it on his visor.
Yes. So it'll work like a beacon.
Right. No one else would be able to see the beacon either.
No.
It would be just him.
Yes.
So this is like a search mission catered specifically for the person that they left on the planet.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's a cool idea.
It was.
And Data confirms that, yes, this would work.
Yeah. Thanks, Data.
Yeah.
And where were you when coming up with that?
I know. Got bested by a 14-year-old. Or 16. I forget how old he's
teenager.
Supposed to be at this point. Yeah. But Picard likes this idea. He's like, all right, make it so. Let's do it.
Yeah, badass.
Yeah. Then they start to get a transmission coming from the neutral zone, from a ship. It's a Romulan warbird, that's what they're called?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. It's a Commander Tomalak, and he's trying to reach out to the vessel and says, hey, I'm going to arrive at the planet in 6 hours. Picard starts talking to him, and Tomalak's story is that, you know, we had a one-man ship. It got blown off course, I don't know, like wind or something. You know, it happens how you get blown off course a light year away from where you're supposed to go and you just end up in enemy territory. Well, that's what happened. You know, that's all that happened. And, you know, I'm going to come and get my guy.
Picard does not trust this.
Oh, no.
And I love Picard in this scene.
It's a bullshit story. That's why he doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It was obviously some kind of spy plane mission. I don't think that's ever explicitly said in this, but...
Yeah, but I think it's implied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Picard doesn't believe it. He says, you know, this is obviously a transgression. You're not going to come into Federation space because we have a ceasefire. And part of the deal is you're not going to come into our space and I'm not going to come into yours. That's why we have a neutral zone. So that's what they agreed to do. I'm going to go to the neutral zone. We've got your officer over here. He's dying, by the way. We're doing everything we can to save his life, but you're not going to come here to get him. And it kind of pisses Tomalak off because he wants to get his guy, but it feels like he's just using this as an excuse to get into Federation space.
Well, I think he's pushing his limits.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to see what he can get away with.
Yeah.
And Picard is holding firm.
Right. You know, later on in the episode, Tomalak is just, oh, you would let a man die to do this, blah, blah, blah. And you can see he's trying to push Picard's buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows that humans have this emotional connection to human life that Romulans, it does not appear that they do.
They do not.
Picard knows this, I'm sure, so he's trying to push his limit to see, well, I'm going to see how far I can go with this Romulan who may or may not die.
Yeah. I mean, this is easily the best part of this episode.
Yeah. I love this plot.
Yeah, exactly. Is the headbutting between the Romulans and the Federation and both of them seeing just what the other one is willing to try.
Right. But the other thing is they got to wait at the planet for the window to come through. Mm-hmm. So the deal is wait for me to get my guy off this planet, and I'm going to meet you in the neutral zone. By the way, your officer may or may not die in that time period. You know, yeah,
we don't know. We're doing the best we can.
Right. Riker and Worf are like, Picard, what the hell, man? You have every right to just keep this guy indefinitely and interrogate him. Why are you giving him away? He's a spy. That's pretty clear what's going on here. I think Picard is trying to avoid any kind of major conflict this whole time. I know that when we were watching it, you said that he caved, but the more that I think about it, he's just like trying to prevent Vietnam, basically. He doesn't want an incident.
Yeah, he doesn't want an incident, but at what cost?
Well, in this case, the cost is the stake is the ceasefire. He wants to maintain that.
Yeah, but the Romulans are already violating it.
Right, but he doesn't want to go to war with them.
Why not?
Well, because many, many people will die.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to sound like a total war hawk right now. And I don't mean to, because in real life, I'm not. But
right.
I do feel like...
In this particular case,
you have the Romulans violating the terms of the ceasefire. At the very least, he should be calling his boss right now.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Getting other ships to come up.
Yeah,
and help them.
I agree with. Yeah, I don't understand why he didn't call in the cavalry just immediately.
Yeah, scare the shit out of this one Romulan warbird.
Yeah, well, because they do. You know, as we see at the end, like that, it would have solved a lot of problems if they had more than one vessel.
Yes,
and I assume that they would have time to do it because they're waiting for this storm window to pass.
In Federation space.
Yeah.
So you're like basically in the ocean right next to the country.
Right. Yeah.
And this warbird is all by itself, way off course.
Yeah. That does make sense.
You show some force right now.
Right.
What is that? Teddy Roosevelt thing. Walk tall and carry a big stick?
Speak softly and carry a big stick.
Nope, I said walk tall. I don't know speak softly.
Walk tall was...
the movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, that was a remake of a Joe Don Baker movie.
Oh.
Where he carried a big plank.
Yes, exactly.
And he hit like gang members with it.
Yes.
But yeah, they did remake that with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's
yeah, I'm going to go with Walk Tall and Carry a Big Stick because he does carry a big stick in that movie.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, as President Joe Don Baker said, walk tall and carry a big stick.
I almost remembered that quote from
history. Yeah, no, close enough. I like yours better.
Yeah, all I'm saying is the way he handles this. I mean, at the beginning, right now, he's talking a really big game. But as the episode progresses, you realize he's just talking a big game, and he's not going to follow through on it. And now the Romulan Empire knows that.
Oh, yeah. I can see how that would be dangerous. But from his perspective, and like right now, not only does he have to juggle getting his crew member back, which, you know, there's an obvious solution to this, which was don't bring Riker and Worf up immediately. He has to maintain the ceasefire, and he doesn't want to be the one responsible for breaking it.
Mm.
And he says that at the end, explicitly, he doesn't want to be the one responsible. If anyone, he wants it to be the Romulans, which is kind of dumb because, like, what does it matter at that point?
But wouldn't it still be the Romulans?
Yeah, because they broke it.
Yeah they
already
broke the terms of the ceasefire.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, Picard caves.
Yeah.
He shows some cowardice right now.
Man. Hey, so I guess you agree that the Enterprise is a military vessel?
Oh, no!
If they're on this military mission, and they have to juggle all these military treaties.
Oh, man. Backed into a corner.
All right, yeah. Anyway, they're trying to get Geordi off the planet, and Wesley sends...
Notice Picard doesn't bring up the fact he's got families and kids.
I know. Well, they didn't disconnect from the battle bridge either. None of this makes sense. They've done that like twice. And that's the mechanism they have to not get all those kids killed. He knew that they were going to go meet a Romulan warbird, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, totally.
Just because they didn't have the budget or something. I don't know.
But the military overtones of this particular episode
they're very clear.
Yes.
So they send the probe down to the planet. Geordi is, like, making his way to it, and this is when he's dropped the picks, like you said earlier.
Yeah, and for some reason, he's still crawling through a tunnel instead of I don't know where that
I don't know why he got rid of him, but he sees the probe through his visor and he's like, that's Wesley, that was his idea, I know it. And then he gets knocked out by a Romulan.
Yeah. A second Romulan.
Yeah, a different dude, which we knew that they had.
Yeah,
because Picard asked Captain Tomalak, because like, do you have another person down there? He's like, no, of course not. Oh, okay, so they do.
Yeah.
And this is that guy. His name is Bakra. He's holding Geordi at, I don't know if they use phasers or whatever, it's some kind of Romulan pistol.
Yeah.
He's like, you are my prisoner now. He looks like he's hurt. Like, mm-hmm. He's coughing and he's kind of limping around.
He's got that hunched look to him.
I guess this is the radiation getting to him.
Yeah.
Then, like, out of nowhere, a bunch of rocks fall on him.
Yeah.
It was like a piano falling in on him, basically. And Geordi picks the dude up. The guy still has a gun in his hand.
He doesn't take the gun.
Right, he doesn't take the gun.
Or the blaster on his hip.
No.
He just carries him to safety.
Yes. And he, like,
so see, this is proof it's not a military vessel.
Brings him into a cave. And like, after he had explained all this stuff, like, what his mission was and what he was trying to do, and he even had a badass line. It sounds dumb now.
It was badass.
Where he was like, how do I know you're not lying? He's like, I always tell the truth when I got sand in my shoes.
Don't you hate the way that feels?
Yeah. So as he's dumping the sand out of his shoes, Bakura comes to, and he's got the gun on him again. He's like, oh, well, that's a fine how do you do.
It's like, oh, Jordy.
Way to repay me. It's like, why do you expect him to repay you?
Yeah.
He's your enemy.
Yeah.
Why do you think he would do that, Jordy?
It's so stupid. It's like, Jordy, you have to have basic training to grab a gun from a fallen enemy.
I don't know if this is like some kind of, oh, we have evolved past simple concepts like not letting someone kill you for no reason. Like,
see, I guess, again, this proves that this is not a military expedition.
Okay.
Because nobody knows when they're in danger
they would
from
all
their
be
enemies.
Dead if they all acted like this at all times, which has been established they do based on how their security teams perform.
I know. I don't know what he was thinking.
I know. But at this point, it becomes clear, like, Jordy is able to look at him through his visor. He's like, oh, man, your body heat is going way up, and your heart is pounding real fast. You got radiation poisoning, dude. This is weird.
So stop pointing that gun at me, and let's work together.
And the Bakura is saying, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you looking through? He's like, oh, it's my visor. You know, I was born blind. He's like, and your parents didn't kill you?
Yeah, which that is awesome. That speaks a lot to the
Romulans' culture is.
Yeah, and how they behave.
They're like Spartans, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jordy is obviously very offended. And he says, no, of course my parents didn't kill me. I have a visor. It lets me see other things. Mm-hmm. It's normally very fine, but now it's malfunctioning for some reason.
It's on the fritz.
Yeah. Jordy is blind again, and this guy is dying. That's the situation that we're in right now, and they're both trapped on the planet together. They got to find that beacon.
Yeah, and Jordy can't get to the beacon now that he can't see it.
Yep. Back on the ship, Crusher calls Worf in to her office and is like, hey, you know those tests we were doing? We're trying to find someone who has compatible ribosomes with the Romulan. And it turns out that is you. You're the only one on the ship. He's like, but yeah, I'm a Klingon. He's like, well, yeah. Different species, but it just so happens you're the guy. So, you know, go ahead and it's not going to be any danger to you. You just got to donate some cells to this guy and he'll be fine. And he doesn't want to do it.
Hell yeah, Worf!
Yeah. He's like, absolutely not. They killed my parents. And she's like, it wasn't this Romulan that did it. And he was like,
I don't care.
Don't care.
I'm not going to do it. And I also love he was like, I was fine with you testing me.
Yeah.
Just like, I was comfortable with the test. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, Beverly Crusher.
I didn't know there'd be consequences.
No, it's awesome. And it's such a Worf answer. He's just like, no, I refuse to do it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Also, Tomalak, the Romulan, has noticed that the Enterprise has not rendezvoused with them yet because they're still waiting on Jordy. They're, like, trying to buy time, basically. He is pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and as we see from this other, like, conversation that Worf has with Riker, you know, he comes into Riker's room, and Riker's, like, taking a shot of something.
Yeah, it looks like, oh, what's that thing you drink at, a sushi bar?
Oh, like sake.
Yeah, it looks like he's drinking sake. Yeah.
And Worf is like, hey, I'm sorry, it's a bad time. Is like, no. And they're trying to, like, Riker's trying to convince him to donate his cells. He's like, look, I understand it's got to be difficult. And Worf says, there's no way you could possibly understand.
Yeah.
You know, these were my parents. They killed them. And again, Riker does that, but it wasn't that specific guy. He's like, I don't care. He's like, well, what if we make peace with the Romulans? What are you going to do then? He's like, that's impossible. That's never going to happen. Well, Worf, you know, we once thought it was impossible for my people and your people to make peace.
Yeah.
And that happened. We're here today serving on the same vessel. So how about that? That's pretty weird, right?
But Worf doesn't care.
Worf doesn't care.
No way.
Doesn't convince him. He's still pissed, storms off.
And if you think about the way Klingons view death,
to him, he's like, what are we even talking about? Let the Romulan die.
Yeah.
The Romulan wants to die. Now, that hasn't been said yet, but knowing he'd know Romulan culture.
Well,
they want to die. I want him to die. No, I'm not going to participate in this weird human thing.
Yeah, and so when he goes to see the Romulan, he gets called in because Crusher's like, I'm not going to make you donate your cells. I can't do that.
Which technically I think she can.
Can he be ordered? And they say throughout the episode he cannot, but...
Well, I guess Picard says later, I cannot order you to do this. Or I don't want to order you to do this.
Yeah.
So if...
I don't want to and I can't are different things.
Exactly. But let's say you could order someone to do it.
Okay.
Let's say that was legally allowed within the laws of the Federation. I think Beverly Crusher and Riker could order him because they both outrank him.
Yeah. And this is like a diplomatic situation. This is a crisis that they're in.
So, because you know Beverly wants him to do it so bad.
Yeah. Well, and also I forgot to mention the conversation that Tomalak had with Picard. Tomalak is pissed that they're letting this guy die.
Yeah.
He's like, you better not let him die.
Yeah.
So the stakes are this could end the ceasefire. This could cause a war if Worf does not swallow his pride and just donate his cells.
Yeah.
And it is, I think it is really cool the way that they solved it. Because he goes up to the dying Romulan, and the Romulan's like, yes, come here, Klingon. I want to end my life with my hands on your throat.
Hell yeah!
And he's just like insulting him the whole time. And then finally Worf is just like, you know, I could save you. The reason that I'm here is because my cells are the only ones that can save you. And the Romulan was like, I would rather die than have Klingon filth in my system.
Right.
He's just like...
So the Romulan doesn't want it.
Yeah.
The Klingon doesn't want to do it.
But you can kind of see in Worf's face, like, he's like, well, all right, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah. Take my blood.
Then you were going to get my blood.
Or my riboflavin
Yeah. Whatever the hell it was he was going to donate to him. The only reason he's giving it to him now is out of spite.
Yeah. You will live, because I hate you.
That rules.
But he doesn't do it. He doesn't end up giving it to him.
Well, yeah. This would have been cool if he did.
But it doesn't make him.
Yeah. It doesn't work. But I just thought that was a good scene.
Yeah.
Back on the planet, though, there's a much different dynamic between Romulans and the Federation. Bakra is trying to figure out a way with Geordi for them to see where the beacon is. Geordi's visor isn't working, but Bakra says, like, don't you have something else? What's that sensor that you have in your hand? He's like, it's a tricorder, but it works on, like, a different system. It would never work. Also, I can't see, dude. And
Bakra's like, I can.
Oh, my God. I don't mean to insult the actor who played this guy, but it was really hammy.
Yeah,
kinda
it felt
took me
like
out of
a
it.
Soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not one usually to judge the actors on Star Trek.
Yeah,
but
God.
This was next level.
He was
level.
Like, I will be your eyes. I was like, just say it, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's like over-enunciating everything, like we're on Broadway or something.
Yep, it was very stagey.
Yeah.
And so what they do is the Romulan guy, Bakra, is acting as Geordi's eyes.
Well, I love how complicated they make it sound.
Yeah, they make it sound like it's impossible to do, and he's just like, yeah, put the battery in there.
No,
then snap
the
it onto there.
And they're done.
That's it. It's just like, oh, it's a plug-and-play kind of deal.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the easiest thing in the world. You could probably do that blind.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't seem overly complicated, but whatever. That's what they do, and it's able to act as like a Geiger counter to find the beacon, and then so they kind of set off on that way because Geordi can pick the dude up and walk for him, and that guy can see for him and tell him where to go.
Yeah.
So they're kind of one person doing the other person's job for the body.
Yeah, a Romulan and a human teaming up to get things done.
Yeah,
I think at one point Geordi even says, like, I think that's the first collaboration.
Yes. it's like, I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Dennis Quaid and Lou Gossett Jr., Enemy Mine.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, they're trapped on like an asteroid or something. They're two like people from different civilizations that hate each other. And they're just there for decades or something. It just kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Not as good. But We're kind of past the point of Geordi being a badass here.
Yeah, he was a badass for a minute.
Yeah, that was neat to see.
Yeah.
Up on the ship, Picard is calling Worf into his ready room, and the ship is on red alert, by the way, because they might go to war with the Romulans again. And he's trying to explain to him the severity of the situation here. He's like, now look, I don't want to order you to give your cells to this guy, but you know, sometimes duty makes us do things that we don't like to do. And as captain, I have to balance the needs of many, many people with the needs of the individual. And I try to please everybody as best I can, but I can't always do that. And Worf says, well, I have no cause to complain. And he says, well, no, you wouldn't complain even if you did have cause.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
But it's a great scene. Like, these two people clearly respect each other, and Picard is trying to pull Worf out of his pride. But the problem is, Worf is defined by his pride.
Yeah.
And he says earlier in the episode, you know, like, what would you do if you knew you had to do something, but it goes against everything of what you are? It's not in his character to give his cells to this Romulan. He hates this dude.
Yeah. He also doesn't fear death the same way.
Right. What he puts him in the situation, he was like, now look, I'm not going to do this on my own, but if you order me, I will. And Picard's like, I can't do that. And it's not clear if he can't do it legally or if he just can't do it because he doesn't want to.
I think he doesn't want to.
Yeah, and I think that's what they were getting at. I could be wrong about that. If anyone knows anything about like what the structure is with orders here.
Because it would have been as simple as him to say, okay, I order you.
Right.
And it would have just been between him and Worf.
The situation.
Yeah,
but
he didn't do it.
Yep.
He just made him feel really guilty, like I did to you at the beginning of this podcast.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't matter because at this point, Picard dismisses him and then Crusher phones in to say, by the way, that dude died.
Yeah.
Took too long. He's dead. We may have an international situation on our hands now. And as they say that, Romulan ship is approaching and comes into view.
And Picard looks scared.
Yes. He may have started a war. That's bad news.
It's bad news.
They're like, all right, this is the one last chance to give that officer to us. And Picard's like, oh, man, you're not going to like this, but he's dead. And we're like, well, going to power up the disruptors here.
Yeah.
And
everybody turn on your shields.
Yeah.
It's going down.
Problem is, Enterprise has to turn on his shields. There's a window opening up on the planet.
At this exact moment.
You can't, and I forgot, you can't do this. You can't beam people onto the ship if the shields are up.
Yeah.
So Picard is basically thinking out loud, where he's like, got 9 minutes to beam Geordi up, but we can't do it with the shields are up. If we bring our shields down, they're going to kill everybody with the disruptors. We just know that that's going to happen. What do we do? And they kind of get like this deus ex machina, where Data's like, oh, wait, there's somebody else down there.
Yeah. And we think it could be a Romulan.
Right. And Riker says, like, oh, it's probably the other Romulan.
Yeah.
And Picard kind of treats this as, like, a revelation. It's like, of course it's the other Romulan.
Yeah.
You didn't believe that dude when he said it was only one.
Yeah. And ships usually have at least two people on them.
Right. You know, they're still in this situation, but now they've kind of got another card to play. The window's rapidly...
But Picard sort of bluffs here.
Yeah.
Because they're not certain it's a Romulan.
They're not certain, but it's like, it probably is.
Yeah, I got 90% chance, yeah. I'm right. Might as well go for it.
Yeah. Picard is like hailing the Romulan ship, but they're not responding. And he just explains the situation. He's like, hey, by the way, we found like your other guy there. I mean, we know it's him. We know that, right? It's another Romulan. Look, we don't want to go to war. That's dumb. A lot of people would die. That would suck. But one of us has to lower the shields, and one of us has to be the first one to make a gesture of peace. All right, I guess it's going to be me. No one's talking to me. All right, I'm going to lower the shields. Please don't kill us.
Yeah.
They lower the shields. They bring Geordi and Bakra on. Worf tries to like bring security onto the bridge immediately. And Picard's like, yeah, don't pay attention to that. That's stupid order.
Yeah. Belay that order.
Right. Let's just, you know, try to keep in touch with the Romulans, you know, bring the shields back up and all that stuff. And it turns out the Romulans don't fire on them. I mean, they kind of knew what happened.
Yeah. They're like, on the other guy. They kill their crewmen if they would have fired.
Right. And they know that they got kind of caught. Like, well, that's our other spy dude. And also, we don't want to kill him. So they finally come up onto the view screen and Picard,
say there was a he was misinformed.
It was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, Picard is like, you know, I'm not buying it, but this isn't really worth starting a war over.
But see, this is where Picard totally caves.
I know.
Because he told them something they couldn't do. They went and they did it anyway. And now there's no repercussions for that action. He's going to take them Yeah. He's going to take them back across the border and give him his spy back. So they don't get the spy. And they also didn't reinforce their beliefs or anything to keep the to maintain the safety of the Federation.
Yeah, and one of the other things that happens here is Tomalak is asking Bakura, he's like, oh, did they mistreat you? Assuming that they did. And he's like, no, actually, this human guy saved my life. That's pretty cool, right? And, you know, they seem to have a kind of begrudging respect for each other, Geordi and Bakura, by this point. Yeah, you made a friend. That's nice.
So I guess that's what we're supposed to take away from the episode,
right?
Is that it's
you can cooperate even if you don't like each other.
Yeah, and that's going to lead to diplomatic benefits in the long run, because now he's going to go back there and talk about how kind Geordi was.
As if they give a shit. Like, they don't care.
Well, right, I know, but I guess that's the like, if you would have taken my mindset, you would have kept things hostile.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
The problem is, if you kept it hostile, you might have gone into a war.
Yeah.
And so that's why that conversation that Picard had with Worf, where he was like, as captain, I have to weigh the needs of one individual person with, you know, am I going to get a lot of people killed?
Yeah.
And I'm going to err on the side of not killing a bunch of people. So he's got to swallow his pride dealing with this dude. And he has to make a lot of decisions that he doesn't like making. But the net result is, well, we're not going to go to war with the Romulans. The ceasefire stands, even though they already broke it.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah,
But yeah, that's the episode.
Well, Patrick,
mm-hmm.
This is the part of the podcast where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If it was pretty good, comes up in the queue, give it a watch, we set to stun. And if it was horrible, avoid at all costs.
Yep.
We leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what'd you think?
Well, you know, I don't think it was bad. There was a lot of stuff that is keeping this from set to kill for me. It was a really hammy Romulan dude. Riker and Worf at the beginning making decisions that have nothing to do with their character. Just some parts. And also, Troy had like two lines during the entire episode, one of which was saying, this Romulan guy seems angry. Which is obviously,
yes,
of course he is.
Look at how angry he's at.
Yeah. Look at his eyebrows. yeah, stuff like that. It's just that it's too many dings for me. So I got it. But, you know, got to see Geordi be a badass. I like the diplomatic tension. That's always fun to see in a Star Trek episode. So, you know, it's not bad. I would say set to stun.
Well, I don't know if this is going to come as a big shocker to you, Patrick. But I'm going to leave this one in the holster.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's my first one in a long time, and the first time in a long time that you have rated an episode.
I have liked it better.
I did not enjoy this very much. I know Geordi being a badass was cool, but that whole part of him being down on the planet was so wrought with problems for me that I was checked out about 15 minutes into the episode to anything they were doing down on the planet. Between the overacting, and again, I hate judging like the performance, but that actor was rough.
It was rough, man.
And then it's, you know, it's next to LeVar Burton, who's kind of
an amazing actor.
Yeah, it did not vibe with me well. Kept pulling me out of it. Picard, I love Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah.
And he let me down. Riker let me down. Worf let me down and then redeemed himself and then was almost vilified for it.
Well, Worf was inconsistent with his character at the beginning and then very consistent with his character at the end.
So we saw this amazing Worf stuff.
Yep.
After, I don't know, I was just like, man, who cares? That's how I felt about 15 minutes into this episode. And that diplomatic stuff always rocks. I love it. And it gets handled well in this episode, but I don't know.
Too many negatives.
Yeah. Just too many things that were frustrating to watch.
Well, I can deal with that. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you. This is kind of a low set to stun for me.
Right?
Yeah.
It's definitely the worst of season three so far.
I can't remember if there are other ones. A lot of these have run together for me because I've been watching an episode every week.
Right.
So I have trouble remembering some of these.
Sure.
But yeah, it's not a great one.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as the one we watched last week, though.
So you think Booby Trap is worse than this? Booby Trap was way more fun.
I mean, it's fun, but not like in a good way. Speaking of Booby Trap, before we leave, I do want to mention someone gave us fan art.
Yeah!
Dave Howlett.
Thank you, Dave.
Paschetti Western on Twitter. That's P-A-S-K-E-T-T-I Western. Made a poster of 40-year-old Virgin, you know, with Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Except it's LeVar Burton, and it says the Geordie-year-old version.
Yeah, which I believe was a Grant joke. I think Grant said it in the
episode. Did he?
Yeah.
That was a Grant joke.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. It's great. It looks great.
Great joke.
Yeah, go to Paschetti Western on Twitter and follow him and retweet that fine fan art.
And I'll tell you this much. I love fan art. I think it's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's. I don't need oxygen. I just need people drawing pictures from podcasts I do. I love it so much. So thank you. And if anybody else is so inspired, maybe draw Grumpy Patrick and a Happy Patrick.
If you want. I mean, we both pretty much look the same, so...
We do. We're good.
You know, I'm sorry for that. It's not going to be interesting. But...
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, just thank you, Dave Howlett, for the fan art. Keep listening. Thank you for listening.
Yes, and please leave us those reviews. If you leave a review, we'll read it on the show and talk about it, like we did last week, and it put a giant crack in Patrick and my relationship for a whole week until today when we forgave each other.
I thought you said we weren't going to bring this up again until a future episode.
Oh.
Where we will pretend like it hasn't happened.
Oh, no. It's
several episodes until we revisit it.
Nope.
When we get that other actor again.
Nope. It's emotional soup to me now.
Oh, okay. That stuff will kill you, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, I carry it with me, and you really shouldn't. You know, how you feel is how you feel, and I understand. Anyway, listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive D&D dungeon crawl where my friends and I are playing Dungeons & Dragons, and all of the encounters, plot twists, magic items, and pretty much everything else comes from the listeners. It's a blast to play and a lot of fun to listen to, so check that out at thedungeonrats.com.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce.